We are continuing our series looking at Ecclesiastes. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, the first 17 verses of chapter 3. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, you're looking for page 670. If you're following in your own Bibles, Ecclesiastes will be just after Psalms, there's Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. So somewhere just around the middle of your Bibles, you will find Ecclesiastes. And we're looking at chapter 3, we're looking at the first 17 verses. Words that might be familiar, certainly well-known words that have influenced popular music. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men that yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever has already been and whatever will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. We end our reading there, and we thank God for that word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given this teacher. As he observes the world around us, he sees the reality of what is there, but he also sees what is beyond. God, may we see what is beyond. May see what we see, not only what is under the sun, but what is above the sun. May we see the things of you, and may they bring us joy. May they bring us peace. May they bring us assurance. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening verses of this passage, as I said, are probably very familiar to us. A few weeks back, Rachel read them as to open up our morning service, and maybe perhaps you're familiar with them because the song by the birds, Turn, 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 is now turning around in your head. I'll take a leaf out of Norman's book. I'm not going to try sing any songs that I mentioned today. Although I must admit, when he mentioned the circle of life, he started with the English words. I was really hoping he was going to give that Zulu chant at the beginning ago, but not this time. But those words from this opening, or these opening words from this third chapter of Ecclesiastes are striking. They're striking in their simplicity, but they're striking in their truth. There's a movie called The Lovely Bones. It was released in 2009. It is a beautiful movie. I don't know how else to describe it than to use the word beautiful. It's about a young girl called Susie Salmon, and she tells the story. But the story that she tells is how she was murdered when she was 14 years old. And the movie is about how from beyond the grave she helps her friends and her family discover who her killer is. And it is this dark undertone, this tragic story, that makes this movie so hauntingly beautiful. And this poem is beautiful in much the same way. It describes the different seasons of life, the various aspects of life, but at the same time, it's reminding us of the inevitability of seasons of evil and seasons of trouble. It speaks honestly to us of every season under heaven. And through it all is this monotonous repetition of the word time, time, time. Much like the song by the birds repeats those words, turn, 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 that echo like a ticking clock, reminding us of the relentless march of time. Seasons come, seasons go, they might come back again, but time marches on. And right at the start, in the opening words of this poem, the author sets the boundaries to these seasons, a time to be born and a time to die. And every season that follows on will fit somewhere between those two. The wonder and the wisdom and the beauty of these words as if they came from the very breath of God, telling us, sorry, I've lost my place there. Yes, sorry, telling us that for every season under heaven, there is a time. Everything in its time, everything beautiful. Sometimes tragically beautiful, sometimes hauntingly beautiful, sometimes unfathomably beautiful, but always in its time, in a season that fits somewhere between the season of our birth and the season of our death. And yet, although we are limited between these two instances of time, between birth and death, we are told that God has set eternity in our hearts. A sense, a feeling that there is something greater than this life, that there is more than only what we see and hear and feel in the world around us, that there must be more to life than this. And it makes us hunger, it makes us long for something more. It makes us desire something that we can be sure of, something that we can count of, that will be unchanging in the changing seasons of our life. Something or someone who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Something or someone in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Because if there isn't, then all that we long for and all that we hope for is meaningless. And we really are like vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And we cannot rely on or be guaranteed of any goodness in this world, because if all we are is vapor, then the best that we can hope for is to eat and drink and find satisfaction in our toil and hope that others go about their lives and allow us to enjoy ours. But the teacher has learned that that doesn't always happen that way. In the place of judgment, in the place of justice, all that he sees is wickedness. And I wonder how much that resonates with our own experiences of life. I'm certain for some of us, this is the reality that we're living in right now, where we long for good, but all we see is evil. Where we long for victory, but all we experience is loss. Where we hope to gain, but instead all that we love is taken from us. A life where the words that Axl Rose once sang might resonate with us. With all the changing seasons of my life, maybe I'll get it right next time. This poem tells us that there will be seasons like this in our lives. Seasons of weeping and mourning, seasons of killing and war, seasons of uprooting and tearing down. But they will be for a season, and they will pass. And then there will be seasons of laughter and dancing, of healing and peace, of planting and building. But these two will only be for a season. And there will come a time too when they will also pass away. And then finally death will come. If all we see and experience in the world around us in this life is all that there is, then where is the hope? Where is the joy that can penetrate and permeate at the depths of our being? Where can we ever truly find the peace that we long for? Because even when we are in seasons of peace, we know that season is just fleeting. And if our lives are like vapor, then each season is even less so. And to expect them to be more than that is just a chasing after the wind. That is what the teacher observes about life. But in this great experiment of his, he has learned something else. He has learned that there is someone who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is someone in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That there is someone who will restore judgment and justice and deliver it to both the righteous and the wicked. It is in him, not in this world or the people in it, that we find our hope and our joy and our peace, because he is trustworthy, because he is faithful. He is the one on whom we can build our lives, because unlike these ever-changing seasons of our lives that are like shifting sand, he is solid ground. And with this knowledge, with this certainty in mind, then the teacher begins to make sense of all that he sees around him. What do workers gain from their toil? It's a question that he answered in the previous chapter. In verses 17 to 19, he says, all of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. And then he goes on to say in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 2, what do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. But now in chapter 3, he looks at this question again and he has a different answer. Well, what has changed? Well, as he observes everything around him, he now brings God into his line of sight. He recognized that the cycle of seasons, this ticking of the clock, this movement towards death is a burden that God has placed on humankind, a burden that has its roots in our disobedience to God. In Genesis 3, God says to the man, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Life and work are meaningless, like a vapor, if that is all that it amounts to. If all we can expect is a return to the ground as dust. But the teacher says that this burden that God has placed on us has an element of beauty to it. Everything beautiful in its time. A beauty that comes when we recognize that God has set eternity in our hearts. That God has given us an awareness of the eternal. A longing for something that stretches beyond the boundaries of a time to be born and a time to die. Having been created in his image, there is something of the eternal deep within us that begins to emerge when we consider the vaporous nature of this life. We see it from the dawn of civilizations on earth, how almost every culture, ancient and modern, has traditions and customs and ways of thinking that reflect this eternal and redemptive desire. And when we can grasp that, when we can see that there is something greater than just the experiences of this world, that there is something that stretches beyond our return to dust, but not where we're absorbed into it as like some insignificant thread in the great tapestry of eternity, but rather eternity or the one who is eternal embraces us and holds us in his everlasting love. And having understood this, having understood that the width and the length and the height of God's love is eternal, well, then we can enjoy this life in all its seasons. We can find joy and satisfaction in our daily acts of eating and drinking and being merry. But it's not the despairing cry that the residents of Jerusalem cry out in Isaiah 22 when they're faced with imminent threat of attack and invasion, where they have abandoned God and abandoned hope and they cry, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we will die. Instead, it's a celebration. Let us eat and drink and be merry, for today we live. Today we live in this gift of God, this present season of life, a time where we can truly sing, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The teacher says that while God has set eternity in our hearts, he has also hidden it from us. We cannot fathom what God is doing, what he has done from the beginning and what he is going to do until the end. But we can see and engage with what is now, the reality of this season, whatever it is, whether it is birth or death, whether it is tearing down or building up, whether it is scattering or gathering, we should find joy in it, because if it is a good season, if it is a good season, we find joy in it, knowing that one day it will pass. And so let us enjoy it now. And if it is a season of hardship and struggle, our joy is knowing that it will pass. And one day it will pass for all eternity. We might have no control over when these seasons change, but we can be certain that they will. In the words attributed to the Greek philosopher Heraclitus, the only constant in life is change. But God will not change, because he is faithful. The seasons in their time will change, but in God there is no shadow of change. Life in this fallen world, life with these ever-changing seasons, can be frustrating. And the source of that frustration is because deep down we know that we were created for something more than this, and we long for it. And at the source of this frustration and longing is what God has placed in our hearts. Dwayne Garrett, whose name, when I first heard him, he sounded like a blues musician, but apparently he's a Southern Baptist Bible commentator. But something that he said that we all feel like aliens in the world of time and yearn to be a part of eternity. We all feel like aliens in this world of time and yearn to be a part of eternity. How we long to be a part of eternity, and yet it seems to be out of our grasp. And so instead, eternity chose to be a part of this world of time. Jesus came into the futility of this world so that we can step into this profound significance of eternity. For the man Jesus, there was a time to be born and a time to die. But as the Son of God, he shattered those boundaries. The resurrection changed everything. No longer is the season of death the final act of this life. No longer is life just a meaningless cycle of seasons. There might still be a time for all things under heaven, but not for all time. The teacher is right, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. We are caught up in a world of time with ever-changing seasons, a world that is futile, a world that is joyless, and the eternity that we long for seems to be out of reach. Death has made sure of that. But that all changes when we bring God into the equation. That all changes when we bring Jesus into our lives. When we recognize that the eternity we long for, the eternity that God has placed in our hearts right from the very beginning when he created us in his image, is available to us. It can be reached through Jesus Christ. He gives our life meaning and purpose. He makes it possible for us to enjoy this life, to eat, drink, and merry, because we know that however futile this life might be, however vaporous our years on earth might seem, we were created for something more, and we can step into it through him. In a life that is unpredictable, in a life that is ever-changing, where every season will turn. It would be foolish to put our trust and our faith in the things of this world, because they too are like vapor, and they cannot be trusted. But God can be trusted. Great is his faithfulness, for there is no shadow of turning with him. Shall we pray? God, we thank you that in the uncertainty of this world that we live in the ever-changing seasons of our life, if there is one thing that is constant, it is not change, but it is you. You are the one who is unchanging. You are the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, help us to remember and help us to understand and help us to realize, if we've not reached that place yet, that this world is hard and it will be difficult and it will be a struggle and we cannot count on it. We do not know what tomorrow brings. But we do know who can bring us to tomorrow and who will carry us through it, whatever it brings. We thank you that when we put our faith in you, we have put our faith in the only one who is a solid foundation, the only one who won't shift with the changing winds and the changing seasons, the one that we can count on, the one who will celebrate with us when things are going well, and who will sit with us when things are not, who will never leave us or abandon us, who won't be waiting for us to get to him, but will walk with us every step of the way, whatever season of life we are journeying through. God, I pray for those who are sitting here today who are going through a season of hardship. I pray, Lord, that they will draw close to you. And I pray that they will sense your tangible presence with them. I pray, God, for those who are here with us this morning who have not yet grasped a hold of that certainty that you offer them through Jesus Christ, who have yet to make that decision to bring him into their lives. And I pray, God, as they consider the ever-changing seasons of their lives, they will recognize you as the rock on whom they can build their lives. But I thank you, God, that you are present in all things, and that we can count on you, and that you are faithful. And pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.